the fourth year fruits applies only to what category? Only to what is in the grape. So that this is how these authorities learn. Okay?
Applies only to the grapes.
Applies only to the grapes, according to this authority.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, other authorities don't agree with it. But, you know, when we take the Gemara, we want to see what are these different points of view. All right. So, now we're discussing the point of view of the one who says that it applies only to the what?
The grapes.
To the Kerem Ravai. Right, to the grapes. Okay. So, how did he derive it? He derived it, he says, through a Gezeirah Shavah. All right.
Because of the commonality of the
right.
word.
So, Mala Halon Kerem, Afkan Kerem, right? So, just as the Pasuk there talks about a vineyard, so likewise, in the first case, the word Tavuaso refers also to a vineyard specifically. Now, if that's the case, Iyatele Chad Hilu. If we say Kodesh Hilulim, right? And Kodesh Hilulim means that we have to praise. So one of them teaches us what? That Hilulim, and as we'll see, they say that the Hilulim, okay, this is wine, because what did we say before? The Shira, right, that the Levium sang was on the wine, okay, but the fact that it is written in the plural means that we have one other use for the word Hilul. And what is that? Iyate le chad hilul. And we have left over another hilul of the two hilulim for what? Livracha. To show us that you have to make a bracha. Alright? So gone's fine. So far, we've now tried to work out the fact that you have to make a bracha according to the opinion that applied only to what? To the grapes. Right.
Right?
To the Kerem Ravai. Okay.
We needed two hilulim. One for bracha before, one for bracha.
Well, that's
according to the other guys.
Yeah.
That's according to the Neta Ravai. That's why I say we have to distinguish over here between Neta Ravai and Kerem Ravai. Neta Ravai being any kind of fruit. Whereas the Kerem Ravai specifically that. All right.
For wine.
So the first point of view was about the Neta Ravai, where we said Kodesh Hilulim means a bracha before and a bracha afterwards, right? And Rabbi Akiva is therefore subtext, which said, you know, that therefore we know that you're not allowed to taste anything without making a bracha first. But now when it comes to the Kerem Ravai, so this would apply only to the products of the Kerem, right? Mm-hmm. That, okay?
That means only wine.
Correct. That first of all, actually they have taken even one step further. And they say that Hilul and Chilul are really two interpretations. In other words, the praise and the Chilul, making it Chulun, making it, you know, no longer sacred,
Kodesh, yeah.
Right, you know, the pinion, as we said before. So those are the two things. So if we say that Hilulim and Chilulim is the same thing, in other words, that if you want to take the grapes to Eretz Yisrael, I mean to Yerushalayim, and it's not going to last that long, then what should you do? Or let's say the wine that you want to take is going to turn, and it's going to turn into
vinegar
before you get there, then in that case you have to be fighter. So that's rule number one that we get out of Hilulim. And what is the other one? The other one is the fact that it should also be accompanied by praise. In other words, by a bracha. So this is, if you learn out this,
Gezeirah
Shavah. All right. But now, the question is, the Elo Yalav Gezeirah Shavah? But what if you don't learn out the Gezeirah Shavah? Remember I said that the Gezeirah Shavah, you have to have a tradition for it. If you don't have the tradition that this is a true Gezeirah Shavah, then you cannot apply it.
Right.
So, what if you don't learn out the Gezeirah Shavah? So, Bracha Menolei, then how do you know that you have to say a Bracha? The Inami Yalav Gezeirah Shavah, and besides, is another problem. Even, let's say, we accept the fact that you learn the Gezeirah Shavah, Ashkechan La'achrav, okay, so we can understand then that you make a Bracha afterwards. Why? How do I know that we make a Bracha afterwards? Because this we derive from what? From bread.
Mm.
What is it written in the Torah? Actually, it doesn't say specifically about bread either. But what does it say? It says, V'achal t'v'sabota. When you eat and you are satisfied, then the V'rachla sar Hashem alekecha, right? You bless the Lord your God. So that, from this, we learn definitely that according to the law of the Torah, we have to make a blessing afterwards, right? But l'fonov b'nayim, but how do we know that you have to make a bracha before you eat it. So he says, holei kasha. Now that's not a kasha. Why not? The asi b'kal v'chomer, because you don't, you can learn it through a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer means that if it's sale for this, then all the more so. Right. Okay. Kishahu soveya. What if when he is full, he said it, mivore, he makes a bracha, kishahu roi, like kol shekein, right? So certainly when he is hungry, all the more reason. I mean, he should thank God for the food that he's about to eat. All right, we'll stop at this point tonight. And next week we shall continue from this point. As you can see, it's not, you have to follow a little bit over here. You have
this
to follow
the argument. We won't get through this too quickly.
Well, afterwards we'll discover that there's quite a bit of Agada coming for the next page or so after that. So that, it's not as hard for us. Some very, very beautiful Agada, by the way. Okay. Yeah.
We heard from the Zvira Shaka about Karam, one of the people that came to Karam.
Right. First, a Karam shows us that the yield of the vineyard, right?
Is germane to the idea, right? What about Mahapu? What do we then learn from
That tells us that if you do, you observe the fourth year of the Kerem revive properly, right? In other words, either you bring it to Yerushalayim and enjoy it over there, or you are mechalel, and as I said before, they make a play of words between chilulim and hilulim.
They claim that they're related.
Right, they're related to each other. In other words, you have to make a tefillin.
Is there a shiloh?
And then, you know, you take the money through the, you know, through the money that you've used, that you've gotten for the fruit, you understand? And you bring that to Yerushalayim. All right, so that's lesson number one. And the other one is the fact that we still, since it says Hilulim, so we have one more Hilul left over. One Hilul is Hilul, and the other Hilul is, yeah, praise God. But why praise God? Is it before or after? So in that case, we can figure out on the basis of the Gezeirah Reshava that we praise God after, but we haven't learned how come we praise God also before. So for that, you do not depend anymore upon the Gezeirah Reshava, but what do you depend upon? You depend upon the Kal V'chomer. Madoch, after you've already eaten and you're satisfied and you praise God, all the more so while you're still hungry and you haven't even eaten yet. Review a little bit so that we get the basic idea, you know, what is the difference in the point of view between the two. Hoping, of course, that my voice will hold out.
Wow.
Okay. The Gemara, if you remember, started by saying, you know, where do we have a reference to the fact that we should make a bracha, you know, over fruits and things like that, okay? So, as a result, they bring in something that they taught on the Rabbanon, which says, you know, that Kodesh Yedulim Ad Hashem, there is a pasuk which says, holy, praises unto God, right? And of course, what was it talking about? It was talking about, as we saw, the nectar of vine, in other words, fruits of trees in the fourth year, okay? And so therefore, they interpret this particular pasuk as showing that what? Why does it say Hilulim? So it says Hilulim, as we saw, because Melamed, it teaches us Shetunim Brochel of Deim Nachrayim, right? That the fact that it says Hilulim, which means praises, means you got to praise God before you eat, and you have to praise God after you eat,
plus it's,
you know,
plural.
The particular food. Right. This is the reason why it's plural. Okay? This is how they interpret it. And based upon that interpretation, so Mekan Omer Rabbi Akiva, so this is the reason why Rabbi Akiva said from this, you know, taich, so to speak, from this interpretation of Kodesh Hilulim, Hashem the Pasuk, he says that also Lodam Sheyitem Tum, that it is prohibited to any person that he should taste anything at all, Kodem Sheyivore, right? Before he recites a bracha.
So Gan's fine. If the Gemara really had stopped at that point, they would have said, fine, okay, let's go on to something else.
But
the Gemara doesn't stop at that point, because the Gemara is not altogether satisfied with using Kodesh Hilulim L'Hashem as
the reason
a reference, right, in the Torah to show that we have to make a bracha before and after food. So that this is where the difficulty comes in at this particular point, okay?
And this is where we got stuck.
Right, all right. So, the next Gemara, I'm going in order over here, and you'll see how it ties in with the Tesis, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then the Gemara wanted to know the following. It says, the high Kodesh Elulim, the Hachichu Dorsi, tell me, you mean that this Pasuk Kodesh Elulim has come for this particular purpose? In order to teach us what? That you have to make a bracha before and after you eat food? I'm a boy lay, on the contrary, it says, we need this pasuk for something altogether different. What do we need it for? We need it, first of all, for chad, for one teaching, which teaches us the Omer Rachmana, that the Torah has said, Rachmana literally means the all-merciful one, but it means, that the Torah has said, or the Rabbeinu Shalalem has said, achalei, actually it's not a pasuk in the Torah, but he interprets